Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cash back on purchases. And pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
With the best all-inclusive vacation deals to Mexico and the Caribbean, booking your getaway with Cheap Caribbean Vacations means you have more freedom to do your deal. Whether you want to enjoy snorkeling, endless margaritas and more, or simply soak up the sun and sand in a tropical paradise, Cheap Caribbean Vacations has your deal for that. Plan and book the exact getaway you want at exactly the right price for you by using our exclusive budget beach finder, or find a featured all-inclusive package to Ocean by H10 Hotels and do your deal at cheapcaribbean.com.
The cheerleaders at a gym in Buffalo have been recording themselves.
What's up?
To make a new documentary.
We're the so-called news reporters.
Because 1 year ago, a mass shooting changed their lives.
He just walked around and shot all the black people.
The cheer squad, most of whom are black, had to figure out how to go on and how to compete.
I wanted the win for them more than anything this season.
Listen to the Embedded podcast from NPR within the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Carol Fisher, and I'm hosting a podcast called The Girlfriends. It's Las Vegas, it's the 1990s, and it is time to find a husband.
There were four Jewish doctors who were felt to be eligible bachelors. One of them was Bob Berenbaum.
On paper, he was perfect, but in reality,
this guy is a wacko.
He choked her to the point she went unconscious.
I would call him and I would say, I know you killed my sister.
You can listen to The Girlfriends on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, it's Elvis Duran. On my new podcast, Thinking Out Loud with Elvis Duran, I'll be bringing you candid and maybe sometimes a little crazy interviews with people from all walks of life. We'll touch on subjects that you just can't talk about on the radio, like life, love, success, failure, whatever else comes to mind, but all jacked up. Because after being in this business for as long as I have, I want to get to the bottom of what makes people tick. Now listen to my new podcast, Thinking Out Loud, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There are more identity threats than you realize. Even if you monitor your credit, only a little personal info needs to leak out. Like your social security number or password.
Or you to become a victim.
LifeLock alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, a dedicated U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions, but everyone can save up to 25% off their first year. Go to LifeLock.com/aware.
George was pretty much my brother. I mean, if I was ever going to have anybody I considered brother, it would have been him.
How would you describe him?
Hardworking, down-to-earth boy. I'd do anything in the world for anybody. If I was broke down three states over at 2 o'clock in the morning, I could call him. He's about the only one that I miss is George.
I'm sorry. So how did George get wrapped up into this?
Well, since they was young, they was beat into his head that he always had to take care of his little brother. No matter what, can't let nobody hurt his little brother. Always had to take his little brother's side no matter what. And I think that had something to do with it.
This is The Piketon Massacre, Return to Pike County. Season 3, Episode 5, One-Eyed Wolf. I'm Courtney Armstrong, a television producer at KT Studios with Stephanie Leidiger and Jeff Shane. George Wagner is awaiting trial in Pike County for his involvement in the murders of the Roden family. He's pleaded not guilty. After 2 seasons of reporting, details of what allegedly went down on the night of April 21st, 2016 have slowly come into focus. But we still know little about the eldest son of the Wagner clan, George Wagner. In this episode, we talk to the people who knew George the best and delve into why many are still trying to comprehend his potential involvement in the Piketon Massacre. In May of 2017, 13 months after the murders, investigators sent a SWAT team to the Wagner's property to search for evidence. Around that time, George changed his social media profile picture, and an online group picked it up immediately, screenshotted it, and posted it. Here's an anonymous Wagner and Roden family source.
It's crazy. I don't know what all is out and what's not out, but when all this went down, he had posted, what is it called, your profile picture of a wolf that had a scar in one eye. And if you get on there and read that, Angela's on there and telling him he needs to delete it. You know, you shouldn't be doing that.
And then everybody in this group that I'm in was like, oh, that's like pointing to him having shot Kenny. And Angela commented on it, really question mark. Everybody in this Facebook group was like, oh my gosh, he's the one who shot Kenny.
Kenneth Roden, brother of patriarch Chris Roden Sr., was the eighth and final victim to be discovered. This was 5 hours after Bobby Joe Manley discovered the first bodies and called 911.
I need a deputy to come out to close to 799.
Okay.
This is family member Donald Stone calling from Kenneth's home, 7 miles away from the other crime scenes.
All this stuff is on the news. I just found my cousin with a gunshot wound, and I don't know what his address is.
Are you out of the house?
I'm out of the house right now. I just went in hollering at him.
Stone found Kenneth lying in his bed face up, covered in blood. He had dollar bills strewn over the lower half of his body. He was the only victim killed with a single gunshot wound to the head, specifically through his right eye. This is like the picture of the wolf in George's profile that piqued people's interest online. Here's Stephanie and Jeff.
It came to our attention that in October of 2018, about a month before the Wagners were arrested, George Wagner changed his profile picture to a cartoon wolf that has a scar over its right eye. And on that picture, his mother, Angela Wagner, commented, "Really? We can only assume this picture represents Kenneth Roden, who was shot in the right eye, and that George Wagner was somehow bragging or making a callback to the way Kenneth Roden was murdered."
We do also know that Kenneth Roden was really the only victim who was shot just once in their right eye. And the significance of that might be tied to this photo. It feels like a stretch a little bit, to be honest.
So he posted this on October 4th, 2018. And a few weeks prior to that, on September 19th, 2018, is when the autopsy notes were released and everyone found out that Kenneth was shot in the right eye. And so it seems like a bit of a coincidence that we, as the public, find out that Kenneth Roden is shot in the right eye, and then George Wagner posts this photo of a wolf with a scar over its right eye. And that maybe wouldn't be connected, but then if it wasn't, why would Angela make that comment? Because if it's just a picture of a wolf, like, what does his mom care what he posts on Facebook if it doesn't have this kind of deeper meaning?
So much has been made about this online and in various different Facebook groups. It could really just be a complete coincidence.
It could, but we can only assume what the Wagners did. I think it's fair to scrutinize all of their behavior prior to the arrests and following the murders.
What would be the significance of that? Either he's bragging or is he giving a signal to someone else? Like, what is the connective tissue there?
The way I read into it is that he's bragging about the murders.
Why would he do that? We do know they get arrested 1 month later. Many people in the area were saying that the Wagners were expecting to be arrested at any moment. And it really does make you wonder why they were so busy on social media in the first place. If you feared that you were going to be arrested, why would you possibly go on social media, period?
The way it was presented to me was that it was more of a matter of fact, that the police think we're tied up in this, we're going to get arrested, but we're going to get out because we're innocent. It's just a formality. And so the way I think at least they were portraying themselves to their friends and family was that they were very confident about their innocence in all of this and that they would not be roped into it too much.
Jake was the one that literally said he shot five people or killed five people and shot six. And I don't know, I mean, who was the other person? Well, if anything, I think Billy, you know, would have been the crazy one to do something because Billy was always coming up with these crazy schemes. Billy, I would not put past to do anything. I feel like he would be at a gas station and shoot somebody. I felt like George would throw up if he shot somebody. But I don't know. I don't know.
Last season, it seems like the only thing we heard about George Wagner was that he was an abusive husband and all around a pretty bad guy. But as the court proceedings have kind of continued, we've talked to more and more people who were close with George Wagner and have kind of told us the opposite of what we've always heard. Everyone we've spoken to as of late has said nothing but nice things about him. Basically that he was this great guy and they are shocked that he was involved in this murder. No one seems to have a hard time imagining that Billy, Jake, or even Angela could have planned, murdered, and covered up this crime, but people have a really hard time wrapping their head around George Wagner being involved.
Which is surprising to me because we did hear about how terribly he treated his wife when they all lived with his mother, Angela Wagner, and the whole accused family mistreated her. This season, yeah, we've heard quite the opposite. All we really have so far is Jake's plea deal, where he has testified that George was only there last minute and really was only there to protect Jake from their father, which, you know, we're still trying to unpack what that actually means. So let's play that out really quickly, just this scenario as we maybe know it right now. According to all of these plea agreements, Jake, who has admitted to five killings, and Dad, Billy Wagner, they were the ones that were going to go out and do all of the killing. So that's five that Jake was going to do or has admitted to, leaving the remaining three maybe done by Billy. Yet at the very last minute, George, the oldest brother, to protect his younger brother, decides to go along with them. Even though he's been a part of the planning, he wasn't intending on going. And now, according to Angela Wagner, she stayed behind to babysit. So now George tags along. What does that mean? Is he equally responsible? Is he not responsible at all? He was a part of all the planning, so maybe he wasn't one of the trigger pullers. But it also speaks to the larger question of why would George Wagner think their father was going to kill or harm Jake Wagner?
It's certainly a good question, and I wonder if George's defense will bring that up, because I think in the eyes of the law, if you plan a murder and you're at the murder, you're pretty culpable in the crime. And so whether you're there to protect someone else or not, we'll see if that matters and how much that will play out in his upcoming trial.
If we're just going to play along with this version of a tale, if George Wagner was just tagging along to protect Jake Wagner from their father, Billy Wagner. Go with me here for one quick second. That would imply that Billy Wagner, dad, was allegedly gonna kill or harm Jake Wagner. But why would he do that? Like, why would George have to protect Jake from their dad? And I guess the only thing that would sort of make sense is because maybe Billy Wagner was going to kill Jake Wagner just so there was nobody left to turn him in.
Yeah, there would have been one less witness. And as we know, kind of how the dynamics of the family were, Jake and Angela Wagner were very close, and Billy and George Wagner were very close. So perhaps George felt that if he went, he could maybe talk some sense, for lack of a better term, into his dad and protect Jake at the same time.
It's certainly complicated.
It's important to note that both George and Billy Wagner have pleaded not guilty on all counts and have not yet had their day in court. So everything we're talking about is just Jake and Angela Wagner's version of events.
Otherwise, the prosecution would not allow their version of events to be, frankly, the foundation of their upcoming trials.
Yeah, certainly the prosecution believes Jake and Angela's version of how things went down that night. But it's just important to note that Billy and George are disputing all of this. And it's not just us, Steph, who are trying to unpack this. The people who were close with the Wagner family are still kind of wrapping their head around all of this, particularly Chris Newcomb, who, as we know, is Angela Wagner's half-brother, was very close with George. And in talking to him numerous times, he's still really grappling with this whole situation and still trying to come to terms with George Wagner's possible involvement. And it's been 6 years since this whole thing happened.
Chris was born when his older half-sister Angela was 20. The age gap kept the two from growing close, but Chris was drawn to her boys, specifically to George.
I mean, hell, me and my nephews, we grew up more like brothers than we did uncle and nephews. I'm 2.5 years older than Jake and 1.5 years older than George. I was always closer to George than I was with Jake. Me and George, we'd always go hunting, fishing, camping. He always wanted to have his own hunting show. You know, he wanted to go on TV and hunt these monster deer and turkey and elk and stuff like that. I mean, he loved hunting that much.
Sammy Joe spoke with us earlier in the season about both the Roden and Wagner families. She dated Frankie Roden from 7th to 9th grade and was involved with Jake Wagner at times. But she also had a crush on George.
I probably shouldn't say this, but Jake, we pretty much stopped talking because I think Angela thought I was trying to get Jake to break up with Hannah, and that's not what it was, because I didn't want Jake. I wanted George.
What did you like about George?
Just his goofiness, honestly. George, he's a big teddy bear.
Really?
I remember a time I got a hold of George and I told him, I was like, I can't afford Christmas. I don't know what to do. And he goes, meet me at the gas station. He gave me money to pay my electric bill and bought my daughter a present.
Wow. So he was like your Santa Claus?
Yeah. Like, it broke my heart when I found out he was married the first time.
And did you ever confess to George that you kind of liked him?
Nope. Now he'll never know.
He was just a nice guy, good to be around, you know, didn't really talk too much, but he was definitely a nice person.
Howard grew up with the Wagners and lived near them in both Ohio and Alaska.
I just remember my sister, I'll keep her name out of it, but she kind of had a crush on George, and she would always talk to him on Facebook and things like that.
It's very funny because you're the second person today who has made mention of a family member, specifically a sister, who kind of loved George from a distance and still have the nicest, kindest things to say of him.
If I had a daughter and he were her age, that's who I would want my daughter dating. He was just a great guy. He was super nice, like very friendly. Jake, on the other hand, was kind of secluded, kind of recluse, but George was just nice, like all around a nice guy.
We've been able to speak with a whole host of new family members and friends this season. Patricia, you may recall, is one of them.
I thank God every day that Tabitha was no longer with them.
Patricia is the mother of George's ex-wife, Tabitha. Tabitha was bullied into relinquishing control of her child with George by Angela Wagner. The situation was eerily similar to the custody battle between Hannah Mae Roden and Jake Wagner that was happening before the massacre.
I think the only reason that saved Tabitha from going through this same thing was the fact that she didn't fight for custody of Hunter. They had him already, so causing harm to Tabby wouldn't have done him any good.
Patricia claims Angela pulled all the strings within the Wagner clan.
I know the demeanor of Angela. She tries to be the loving, caring mother. But if you've seen the side of Angela that I've seen and the way she holds her demeanor around me, you could tell that she was all fake. Tabby wasn't afraid of George. Hannah wasn't afraid of Jake. They were only afraid of Angela.
Sammy Jo saw firsthand how Angela exerted control over her sons.
She was just really intimidating. Normally, growing up, I was always with Jake. And then as I got older, the contact changed from Jake to George. Because Jake became a stuck-up, I'm trying to think of nice, not-so-hateful words. But he became Angela.
Angela took over Tabitha's life as well.
For 2 years, she lived with them and was not allowed to have any contact with me whatsoever because Angela didn't want her to. They even went as far as taking Tabitha's cell phone from her because she was texting me. Angela knows that Tabitha has always been close to every one of her sisters, and every one of them could have talked her out of it. Every one of them could have talked Tabby out of there. And Angela knew that.
We're going to take a break. We'll be back in a moment.
I'm Carol Fisher, and I'm hosting a podcast called The Girlfriends. Back in the 1990s in Las Vegas, a few of us dated the most eligible bachelor in town, Bob.
He spoke several languages. He did medical missionary work, and he was Jewish. He was perfect on paper.
But he wasn't. He really wasn't.
He choked her to the point she went unconscious.
Bob could lie about anything.
It only takes the one time and somebody ends up dead.
Unfortunately for Bob, us girlfriends know how to fight back.
I wanted him to pay for his crime. He needed to be put to justice.
I'll be honest with you, if I saw him right now, I'd spit on him.
I would call him and I would say, I know you killed my sister. I will always hound you and haunt you.
You can listen to The Girlfriends on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
LA's reputation, not so great.
People from LA will have a very superficial, nice conversation with you, and they won't lift a finger to help you.
LA people represent vapidity.
Stop that, like, oh, the best calls, like, oh, shoot me.
As someone born and raised here, I can tell you there's much more to LA than this. My name is James Kim, and I'm the creator of a new anthology fiction podcast called You Feeling This. It's 10 different stories about LA and the real people who make up this city.
What up, Caesar?
Did you listen to my message?
Who are just trying to get by.
I think I was just freaking out because I'm scared.
By connecting with each other.
I'm going to be a father?
Yes.
You Feeling This? A fiction podcast mixtape about love. Listen to it on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Hi, I'm Dahlia Wilde, and I want to invite you to listen to my newest podcast.
We are stardust in the sense that the atoms that make up our bodies have already existed in two stars.
It's called the Oh My God Particle Show, or OMGPS for short. Are you like me, always wondering about the universe? Like
what the universe is made of.
What is in the atmospheres of alien planets.
And, you know, how are we even here to even ask those questions?
So, road trip. I went to get some answers directly from researchers at the Large Hadron Collider.
We're colliding particles with energies that naturally existed when the universe was about a trillionth of a second old.
I found scientists from all over the world.
Everybody is working together to get their experiment working.
I got to talk to brilliant astrophysicists who collaborated with
Brian May, the guitarist from Queen.
Listen to the Oh My God Particle Show on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello and welcome to Bad Manners. This is the podcast that takes you inside Britain's stately homes and tells all the tales the guidebooks don't. My name is Tom Horton and I'll be your host. Britain is riddled with big houses from crumbling castles, massive mansions, and stately piles bigger than Buckingham Palace. As a comedian, I'm not really bothered about the facts and figures. I just want the juicy stuff. So I'm on a mission to find out the frightening, filthy, and downright jaw-dropping stories of these stately homes and the people in them. This podcast ventures deep inside some of Britain's most incredible and outrageous buildings to spill the tea on the scandalous, scary, shocking, and hilarious tales. So if you want to get historically horrid, royally raucous, and Downton dirty, look no further. Listen to Bad Manners on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Six years after the murders, Chris Newcomb still finds George's potential involvement in the Piketon massacre very hard to grasp.
I mean, I'd have trusted George with my life, and that's the guy's honest truth on the matter.
So how do you wrap your head around that? Feeling like someone who you trust your life with is allegedly being a part of something where eight people are dead.
So you asking me how I deal with it?
I guess, yeah.
I get up. I do my chores. I do the work I gotta do. I spend time with my family and I go to bed. I get up the next day and do it again. I mean, I fought for him. I'd have never in a million years believed they'd ever done anything like this. And when it came out, I mean, that made me look like the biggest damn fool ever walked the earth.
I kid you not. I don't see him doing anything of the sort like this. But of course, I was not there. I don't know what happened.
Sammy Joe spent time with George after the murders.
I asked him. I was like, I can't believe this happened. But George, like, shut me out. Like, he goes, how could we do it? There's just something wrong. Like, he totally shut me out. Like, I knew something was wrong that day when we were talking about it. Like, our fishing trip was going good, and it got ruined real fast.
We spoke to a close friend of George's, who, after the interview was done, decided it hit a little too close to home and requested their voice not be used at all. Here's Stephanie and Jeff recounting the conversation.
This young woman who was very close with the Wagner family recounted to us that the morning of November 13th, 2018, the day all of the Wagners were arrested, she had actually been communicating with both George and Angela. And according to her, the conversations were rather mundane. They were talking about how their days were going, what kind of errands they were running.
And we know that Jake and George were together at the time of their arrests, and they were in their truck running errands, and that Angela Wagner was dropping her grandkids off at school.
They also talked about things like Thanksgiving, which was coming up in a couple of weeks. And within minutes of ending the conversations, this young woman saw the news of the arrest.
And after the shock of the news, her first thoughts were, it had to have been Billy and Jake. Angela and George must have been covering for them. And again, that doesn't make it a matter of fact, but she was incredibly surprised and steadfast that George and Angela must have been covering for Billy and Jake.
Yeah, it paints a picture of what that day was like, which is very bizarre because you see the news footage of Billy getting cuffed and the body cam footage. Minutes before that, they were just living their lives, hoping to get away with murder.
Or they were just expecting to go through the formality of being arrested, being booked, being released on bail, and that this would all go away. I think that's what they really believed at this point. It doesn't explain why they came back, though. So they came back to care for Billy Wagner's ailing father. But they didn't really move back. They just came back and were staying in that small house that we ultimately saw recently. But they weren't settled in. Were they just coming back with the understanding that they were going to get arrested and that would blow over really quickly and then they could pick up life and go back to normal?
According to everyone who knew them, that seemed to be their frame of mind.
Court just wrapped up in Pike County.
Mike Schell was there as George Wagner IV made an appearance. He's been covering the Pike County massacres since it happened in 2016.
This spring, George Wagner appeared in court as part of his pretrial hearings. He walked into the courtroom unrestrained and dressed in civilian clothes. He's tall, so he had to bow his head to hear the hushed direction of his lawyers before he sat for the hearing.
So, Mike, what happened in court today?
Chris, this was a revealing day here in the Pike County Courthouse. Captain Seth Hageman, now with the Westchester Police Department, was a special agent with the Bureau of Criminal Investigations back in 2016, and he was one of the lead investigators on the Pike County murders. Now, Hageman spent about 2.5 hours on the stand testifying. Here's the police captain's interpretation of a tattoo that George Wagner got just a few months after the murders.
Obviously, a skull is often used to be associated with death and mortality. And then eight ball is sometimes thought of as a symbol of chance, but there also should be noted there were eight victims in the rodent homicides. And then he had tattoos of aces and eights that are commonly considered the dead man's hand and represent death and murder.
Here again is Stephanie and Jeff.
So let's break this down a bit. And it's a bit confusing because we were not able to obtain the entire hearing courtroom footage and instead have to fall back on reporting. And different sources have said different things about when George Wagner got this tattoo. Some news sources have said it was before the murders and some have said after. So it's not totally clear to us which is true. What we do know is that at some point, George Wagner got a tattoo of a dead man's hand. And for those of you who are not familiar with poker, a dead man's hand is composed of eights and aces. It's called the dead man's hand because it's rumored to be the hand of a man named Wild Bill Hickok, who was holding it when he was shot in the back by a rival. And because of that, the hand is now cursed forever. Which, again, we don't know the link, but if we're going to analyze all of the behavior of the Wagners pre and post-murder, it certainly seems like it's possible that George Wagner knows this folklore story and decided to get a tattoo because he himself shot the rodents.
Much has been made online about their various tattoos and Facebook postings. And yes, you can read into them for sure. For example, it's speculated that the eight ball connects the eight members of the rodent family. That's possible. It also could be a big stretch.
George Wagner's trial is tentatively set to begin 2 months from now. Based on a recent hearing, the prosecution's case is pushing forward with the fundamental argument that the murders were a family affair, with George being complicit in the crimes.
They function as one unit at all times. Like I said, they worked together. They homeschooled together. This is demonstrated by factors including but not limited to them residing together in a very insular manner their entire lives, even while married as adults. It establishes this conspiracy. It establishes the enterprise. All of this information goes together to show that they were, again, that group think, the group action. Not one of them turned back from these crimes. They all knew what was going to happen that night. They all had their own roles.
The possible depths of George's allegiance to his family was on full display on April 28, 2016, on a warm day in South Shore, Kentucky. We received a picture from a listener that was used in the Cincinnati Inquirer, and while we can't be 100% certain, it appears to have Billy, George, and Jake Wagner in it. It was taken at the funeral of Gary Roden.
Also, I think it's worth noting, Jeff, that we actually were tipped off to this photograph by a listener. We hadn't seen it before. And when you look at it, it's pretty staggering because it's all three Wagner accused men. And you can't really see their expressions too closely, but you can just see they're clearly speaking to somebody. And it just makes you wonder, what could they possibly be talking about? What could possibly be going on in their heads collectively? They also have to look the people in the eye and the family members in the eye of the people that they allegedly murdered. You know, everyone is there grieving. The whole town is there grieving. And you know full well that you're at the exact same place that you caused.
all of that pain for everyone.
Yeah, what's so striking to me that is, if indeed these are the Wagner men attending Gary Roden's funeral, just how performative the whole thing must have been.
They went there as this grieving family, supporting their friends and sort of in-laws. I mean, the Wagners and the Rodens were sort of in-laws to one another. And so to have to go there and put on this show of a grieving family is pretty hard to wrap your head around.
Kind of relevant here too. George Wagner's whole defense is that he had nothing to do with this. Yet here we see the family as they stand together at the funeral of a man that was allegedly murdered by at least some of them. So George was in the mix, and we've heard some very checkered things about him, certainly how he handled his own ex-wife and the custody of their child. But this season, we also started to hear things that are also quite different, that he was really loving and kind and that he could never pull this off. And then you look at a picture like this and it does make you wonder.
My sister always kept him on a short leash. I mean, she wouldn't let him do anything, wouldn't let him get away from anybody. You know, I mean, she just kept him on a short leash. They had to stay there, had to take care of the family. George wanted to leave. He wanted his own place, but never got it. If you're raised your entire life a certain way, it's hard to change. If you've had something pounded, like they was homeschooled all their life. I think it was just the fact that he was, like I said, had it pounded in his head that you always have to take care of the family, always help the family, whatever they do, you got to be a part of to help or whatever. And I think it just pounded in his head so much that he started believing it. Because I know that he was raised up to always take care of Jake. Always, no matter what, he has to protect Jake. It don't matter if Jake does wrong to somebody else and they won't pay back on it. Don't matter. You got to take care of your brother.
And so when Angela is like, this Hannah girl is trouble, she's trying to take away Jake's daughter, what's he going to do? Protect his brother.
Yeah, that's the way he was raised up. After Jake confessed to it or whatever he did, hell, I just said, hell, I ain't got nothing for him anymore. I defended him tooth and nail to everybody that had anything bad to say about him. I defended it because I had thought to myself there, said there's no way my family could have had anything to do with this. I said, I've known George and Jake, you know, all their life. I said, there's no way possible that they could have done this.
I've always been so curious to know more about life behind bars for the individual Wagner family members. We know that they've been separated and haven't seen each other since their arrests. We've been in contact with one of Angela Wagner's cellmates.
We know that George Wagner requested solitary confinement and a Bible, and that he was originally in Ross County Jail, but is currently in the Montgomery County Jail in Ohio. And as for Angela and Billy Wagner, they have both been in the same jails since they were arrested. Billy is in Hamilton, Ohio, and Angela Wagner is in Delaware County. The youngest Wagner son, Jake, is currently being held in the Franklin County Jail in Columbus, Ohio. And all of these jails are in about 175-mile radius of each other in a little under 3 hours. But for a family who will probably never see each other again, except for when they are testifying against each other in court, those 3 hours probably feel like a lifetime. And Steph, you know a little bit more about Jake's time in jail, right?
Somebody who has access to Jake Wagner on a daily basis came and saw us at a work event and said that Jake is very busy working on a manifesto. So whether that's something he's putting together as a book or as a final statement, we don't know.
You hear the term manifesto a lot when it comes to shooters. Often people who go and shoot up public places write these manifestos prior to their murders.
I hate to say this out loud, but what a shakeup that would be to the remaining trials.
Let's stop here for another break.
I'm Carol Fisher, and I'm hosting a podcast called The Girlfriends. Back in the 1990s in Las Vegas, a few of us dated the most eligible bachelor in town, Bob.
He spoke several languages. He did medical missionary work, and he was Jewish. He was perfect on paper.
But he wasn't. He really wasn't.
He choked her to the point she went unconscious.
Bob could lie about anything.
It only takes the one time and somebody ends up dead.
Unfortunately for Bob, us girlfriends know how to fight back.
I wanted him to pay for his crime. He needed to be put to justice.
I'll be honest with you, if I saw him right now, I'd spit on him.
I would call him and I would say, I know you killed my sister. I will always hound you and haunt you.
You can listen to The Girlfriends on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dahlia Wild, and I want to invite you to listen to my newest podcast.
We are stardust in the sense that the atoms that make up our bodies have already existed in two stars.
It's called the Oh My God Particle Show, or OMGPS for short. Are you like me, always wondering about the universe? Like
what the universe is made of?
What is in the atmospheres of alien planets?
And, you know, how are we even here to even ask those questions?
So, road trip. I went to get some answers directly from research at the Large Hadron Collider.
We're colliding particles with energies that naturally existed when the universe was about a trillionth of a second old.
I found scientists from all over the world.
Everybody is working together to get their experiment working.
I got to talk to brilliant astrophysicists who collaborated with
Brian May, the guitarist from Queen.
Listen to the Oh My God Particle Show on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
On the best podcast ever with Raven and Miranda, you'll hear, well, the best podcast ever. Join Raven Simone and her partner Miranda Mayday as they let the wheel of words determine the topic of that week's show.
Every episode, we'll spin a wheel of random words from things like animosity to something like zodiac, and whatever it lands on, that's what we're going to talk about for around an hour.
Think we can't do it? Well, then you've never heard us talk.
Each week, Raven and Miranda and celebrity guests like Demi Lovato, Kiki Palmer, and Meghan Trainor will spin the fateful wheel, and then the conversation will begin.
Also, we're going to have a ton of amazing guests because you don't want to just hear us two all the time, do you? Yes, you do. And somehow we're going to start with something like Spider and end with, well, when was your last nervous breakdown?
Listen to the best podcast ever with Raven and Miranda on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. We know there are a ton of podcasts out there. Well, we have one we would love for you to check out. It is called the Pen Pals Podcast with Daniel Van Kirk and Rory Scovel. We are both stand-up comedians. We're actors. We're writers. But now, most of all, we are your pen pals.
Every single episode, we get two letters that we read from our listeners, our new pen pals. It can be about anything going on in their life. And sometimes we're also joined by guests like Will Ferrell.
I'm going to bring you up in front of the group, and I'm going to punch you as hard as I can in the stomach.
Rose Burn.
This is West Hollywood. We keep it clean.
Judd Apatow.
If you use like Beats by Dre, is that considered handyman work?
Conan O'Brien.
I'm just showing you that my mind is quick, if not that funny.
And Mandy Moore.
We're all crossing the line together.
Listen to the Pen Pals Podcast on Will Ferrell's Big Money Players Network on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sincerely, your new pen pals, Daniel Van Kirk
and Rory Scovel.
George's ties to his family will be put to the test at this trial. In light of Jake's admission of guilt and Angela's plea, the eldest son of the Wagner clan is in a tight spot. Was George's alleged involvement in the murders as a passive participant? Or could he be a cold-blooded killer? Here again, Sammy Jo.
The family for the Rodens cannot have closure until they know the truth. They'll never know the truth if we keep doing a pre-trial trial, we're going to move it, so on and so forth. The way I feel, if you have all the evidence you say you have, move on with it, move on. So people can have closure and move on with their life. But again, they're just going to drag their feet, and eventually the truth will come out, and then the people that's waited so long to find the truth is no longer going to be here. And then they never had closure in their life.
More on that next time. If you're enjoying the Piketon Massacre, listen to our other hit series, Crazy in Love. New episodes air every Tuesday wherever you get your podcasts. For more information and case photos, follow us on Instagram at KT_studios. The Piketon Massacre is produced by Stephanie Leidecker, Jeff Shane, Chris Graves, and me, Courtney Armstrong. Editing and sound design by Jeff Twa. Music by Jared Aston. The Piketon Massacre is a production of KT Studios and iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
I'm Carol Fisher, and I'm hosting a podcast called The Girlfriends. It's Las Vegas, it's the 1990s, and it is time to find a husband.
There were four Jewish doctors who were felt to be eligible bachelors. One of them was Bob Berenbaum.
On paper, he was perfect, but in reality...
This guy's a wacko.
He choked her to the point she went unconscious.
I would call him, and I would say, I know you killed my sister.
You can listen to The Girlfriends on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, it's Elvis Duran. On my new podcast, Thinking Out Loud with Elvis Duran, I'll be bringing you candid and maybe sometimes a little crazy interviews with people from all walks of life. We'll touch on subjects that you just can't talk about on the radio, like life, love, success, failure, whatever else comes to mind, but all jacked up. Because after being in this business for as long as I have, I want to get to the bottom of what makes people tick. Now listen to my new podcast, Thinking Out Loud, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, it's me, Isaac Mizrahi, and oh my God, we have such a special guest coming up on Hello, Isaac. It's the fabulous Andy Cohen. He's here to talk to us about all the stuff you want to talk to Andy about. And darlings, that episode is coming out on Monday, July 31st. Listen to Hello, Isaac on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So how does a half-American, half-Nicaraguan party girl from New Orleans with absolutely no journalism experience break the biggest story of the 80s? That's what Journalista is all about.
I'm a woman, wife-beater t-shirt, not wearing a bra, curses like a sailor. I got balls bigger than any man. Dan Rather used to call me his secret weapon.
Listen to Journalista every Tuesday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
What if we told you about a major breakthrough on awesome savings on all-inclusive beach vacays?
OMG, this could break the case.
Case? I'm talking about CheapCaribbean.com. It's full of hot savings. At CheapCaribbean.com, score an extra $175 off site-wide on vacations of 4 nights or more now through June 3rd. A swim up bar in Punta Cana or dip your toes in the sand on the shores of Cancun.
We gotta take this show on the road.
Start at CheapCaribbean.com.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.